This particular episode was recorded a while ago, towards the beginning of COVID. So there are some things that are in there that might feel a little dated or sound a little dated. Some of our opinions may have changed over time, but we wanted to release it because it's fun to look back at what we actually thought about Zoom when it first really exploded at the beginning of COVID. Hope you enjoy the show. Why stand still when you can run headfirst into a wall? You're listening to the Jocular Pugilists. So today our topic is Zoom is here to eat your brain during COVID-19. So why are we talking about Zoom and why is this important to us? I want you to start on this one, Tom.
Sure. Zoom seems to elicit very strong feelings from people. When I talk to people about Zoom, I'm a parent, and I find that most parents feel that it's pretty detrimental to the upbringing of their child.
Really?
Yes. And so much so, I think that some are willing to risk them being infected by the virus. I've seen incredibly strong feelings about it. So we were talking about that. And also, yeah. Phil, you were talking about working and how that's changed.
For me, this topic really hit me when I started thinking, God, I wonder if we're going to go back to work.
Let's talk about why we hate our jobs.
Like in a regular way, you know, and we'll get into all of that later in the podcast. But I'm not sure that this hasn't changed the world forever. And I'm starting to think, I'm a very social person. And I started to think, I don't know that I could really be happy doing all of my work over Zoom and not connecting with people face to face and not. So I'm hoping that people go back to work.
I see. Right. So is this going to fundamentally change the way we work?
Right. So let's start with the mental health aspect of Zoom. So how does it affect everyone's mental health? What have we just kind of, what do we think and what have we discovered? And we can talk about parents and kids. I mean, what do you think, Tomas?
Well, there's this true fear of video conferencing that I see, and it elicits very strong feelings. For parents, the main thing that I hear is that they're fearful that the children aren't socializing and that they're isolated. And I only partially agree with that because I believe that they're socializing, it's just different. Meaning, with video conferencing, they are able to socialize and see each other and in some way communicate with each other. They're not completely isolated. Which is to say, prior to video conferencing, it was a completely different ballgame. You know, with the Spanish flu, yeah, you were completely isolated. So I don't completely agree with the total isolation concept. It's different, but kids are having some interactions. I know with my son, Gabriel, he's not only in school does he have interactions, but he also has interactions outside of school where we set up play dates via video conferencing, and I'll talk to friends when he's playing video games as well.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. Like when you first started talking about that, I wasn't going to agree. Where I was going is I don't think it's as good as regular interaction, but it is better than what it would have been. Now, if you look at the way people interacted way, 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 way back.
Bunga, bunga, bunga!
Unga, bunga, bunga!
Unga, bunga, bunga!
Unga, bunga, bunga! Inga, binga, binga, bunga!
It really was only your family and your close-knit community. You didn't travel far. Before there were, you know, planes and cars.
How far back are you going?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like we're not necessarily meant to interact with
family.
More. Right, with more than.
Yeah, well, I love where you're going with this because I love history. Like whenever you think of where you are right now, history is utterly important. You know, I wish I thought this when I was in school, but history is really important. It gives you a frame of reference. You know, if you go back 100 years, you didn't travel as much. It wasn't as easy to get out. Go back 200 years, you're barely traveling, right? 1,000 years, you probably didn't know people more than a mile or two from where you grew up. You grew up, you died, everything was this small little group of people. COVID might have happened, but it died out because it was in a little village and it was gone. Someone ate a bat and boom, everyone in the village died, done. Yeah, so because of the ease of travel, its effects now are not the same, even slightly than they would have been years ago.
I agree. And I got to say, on a personal level, without the Zoom interactions, I'd be going nuts because I do live alone. I get to see Stacy and her family a few days a week, which is fantastic. But other than that, I've been pretty careful. And my only real interaction is either the phone or these Zoom conferences. And thank God, because I feel when I get off of them, I feel a little bit fulfilled. Like I've had a human, you know, interaction.
It's nice to see people besides your family, and it's healthy to see people besides your family. Phil's much more into phone calls than most people today. It's probably going to affect you more than other people.
I think so, yeah. I have friends that are more homebodies that are kind of loving this thing. It's an excuse to be in their nature more, at home, not necessarily seeing.
But that's a different thing. I think that that's wonderful that some people love it and it's okay. It's acceptable that some people don't. I'm sort of in between. I see the bad, but I also see the good. And look, this is a big deal what we're going through. This is a big deal, man. This is our World War II. This is our big... This is, you know, so just... I think people have to recognize...
You just compared this to World War II? Did you?
I did.
Holy crap!
Because in our lifetime, what has affected us more than this?
Nothing.
Desert Storm, yeah. Well, unless you were drafted, probably didn't affect you all that much. I mean, well, that's not
there,
true.
There wasn't
if you
a draft.
Lived in the Middle
there
East...
Was, there, yeah,
and there
exactly.
wasn't a draft. I'm sorry, there wasn't a draft. The people in the Middle East. So you got World War II, and I'm thinking draft. But I think that this is a pivotal time in humanity, and it's where we have to come together. And I personally, and people are gonna, this is gonna elicit some hate mail. I personally think COVID is a big deal, and it is gonna affect us. So until everyone, I mean everyone, is vaccinated, we have to all come together and work together in this. Yeah, it's a big deal. Absolutely, it's a big deal. How much of a big deal is? My son makes a joke about COVID to me, and he said, what would people think with the plague? Was the plague a big deal? Was that a bigger deal than COVID, dealing with the plague? Mounds of dead bodies out your door? In terms of things that are going wrong in life, this is awful. But if you haven't been personally affected by COVID, and many of us have at this point, I have a wonderful family. I have great friends. I'm not in the same position that some people are in of the mental
health. The other thing that I think about is there's really no longer an excuse for not connecting with people. Like we've said that with the one thing that's frustrating about cell phones for me is that everybody can reach me at any time. And there's an expectation of I got to get back to them. Right. And now there's video conferencing. So socially, I wonder if down the line, if it's going to have an effect on if I want to go meet somebody for a drink, they're going to say, oh, let's just do a Zoom chat, you know, or
well,
let's
it's certainly going to affect where people live. People will realize, well, I don't have to live next door to my loved ones, and I can see them. I don't have to not only talk to them, I can see them. I can enjoy a drink with them, a COVID Zoom cocktail with my family, and I can live on the other side of the world. That's another issue that people are thinking of. Well, do I really have to live in an expensive city for my work and for my loved ones and for my family? Maybe I can move somewhere else and yet still have that connection with the people I love. So that's really important. And there's one other thing before I forget. Something that I think you brought up earlier was how it also will serve to bring into focus your personal relationships, you know, particularly people that you may live with.
Have you been hearing any personal issues like that from anybody? Has anybody personally told you, like, my wife and I are not getting along, you know, or my husband and I are...
No. I mean, most people that I know are like, wow, I get to spend time with my wife and my family. And the people I love, my significant other. So whoever that is. And man, am I lucky. I get that more
That's
than
really great.
Else.
That's
yeah,
great.
I think for a lot of people, we focus on the bad, right? We don't focus on the good.
Speaking of the bad, there's also something that's happening called Zoom fatigue. And this is actually a real issue.
There is no such thing as Zoom fatigue.
And it's people that are finding themselves needing to take naps after a Zoom meeting because something is happening different in their brain. Like, in other words, being staring at a screen with a bunch of people on it and focusing on all the different things is more taxing than being in a room with people, and they need to actually zone out afterwards, which is interesting to me because that affects your day and affects your productivity in a way that I don't think people are anticipating.
Right. So a loss of energy, right? So they get weary after a big Zoom thing. I guess I see that. The other thing that I find is when there's multiple screens, it can get confusing. People often are speaking over each other and it's difficult to know when you should speak.
Oh, so much so that there's actually, I think, a Zoom hand. I think there's a hand that you can raise in Zoom, which is kind of fun. So let's move on to education. I mean, you have a kid. I don't, but Stacy has a kid. He's in high school. Gabriel is younger. Let's kind of talk about what's happening in education right now.
So there's a lot to unpack there. And we can only speak from personal experience, but my son is doing well. Of course, focus is different for everybody. Generally speaking, when I speak to parents, seems like boys have a harder time with focus than girls. But that's very general. That was true with me. I think it was true with Phil. And unfortunately, it's true.
It's still true.
Yeah. But he's doing better in school. He did well in school before. I wasn't a stellar student. I was good at one thing, music. Everything else, I was eh. And it's weird. We both talk about that. As artists, focus for us was on music. So we did have focus, but it wasn't, you know, what they teach now. We're in focus on every subject. And school is far harder now than it used to be when we were young, back in the dark ages. So he's doing, generally speaking, well in school. But for some of his friends, they're not doing as well. So I think distractions in their room are harder. One of the things that I've noticed is that kids, you know, some kids socially have a hard time in school. You know, that could be for lots of reasons. And it could be just distractions of, wow, this is a new environment. Look at this. Look at that. Look over here. Look at this. That could be more distracting than sitting in their room or sitting in a room in their house that they know.
Are you hearing from teachers at all that they're having issues?
No.
With it?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, I don't have a open line to all of Gabriel's teachers. But overall, no, I'm not really hearing that. So it's my opinion that video conferencing for school is good for certain human beings, and it's bad for other human beings. And it's just the same as they were in class. It's just different issues. You know what I mean?
Different issues for different kids. That's interesting because I have heard from teachers that are teaching the younger kids that it's much more difficult. Like they want to go back to school because it's easier to control their classrooms.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Really young kids.
So, yeah, which I totally get. If we move this to high school and college, particularly college, professors are saying now, I read an article about professors that are saying it's difficult to track students' emotions when you're discussing sensitive topics. Like in college, they'll talk about racism and gender, you know, inequality or the Holocaust and like things that are really intense to
fun time subjects.
Fun subjects. But
good times.
But these are what they're talking about in colleges and in some classes, right? It's important to talk about that stuff. And that makes it much more difficult, for the professors. So
that's something I actually never thought of, Phil. It's weird. When I'm teaching classes in Zoom, which I've done, I can't judge everyone's emotions about something.
Yeah. But on the good side of things, anybody from anywhere in the world can, you're a fantastic guitar teacher and music teacher. Anybody from anywhere in the world can access you now. Whereas that was have a pretty good experience, like pretty close to what it would be like to sit in the same room with you and learn. And that could be anywhere in the world at this point.
Oh, man. The one-on-one Zoom, I have a hard time with group Zoom, group lessons, group, but one-on-one, wow, is that amazing. It's so different. The thing about music that it's not good with is playing together. And there are different ways of jamming online and working with each other online and things like that. But it's not perfect. It's really clunky and it's just not there yet. I'm sure it will be in the future, but we're not there yet. But in terms of just demonstrating something, I mean, think about it. You're getting a personal video to you. And you can videotape it, and people do videotape when I'm teaching. Mm-hmm. The exact thing, I can get my hand right next to the camera and demonstrate something. If you were in a lesson, a personal lesson, I'd have to stick my hand an inch from your nose for you to see me play that way. It's awkward. In person, you don't get the same. So that part, I think, is infinitely better. It's not even, to me, that's not even in the running. So is it worse or is it better? Well, the worst part, music is about often about playing with other people, right? Mm-hmm. So that part of it sucks. And that part's not close.
I'll tell you my experience with it. So I've been producing podcasts for years, and I've been producing radio for even longer. And so I've started to do one-on-one coaching on Zoom with clients. And I find that if, as long as I'm checking in with them on a regular basis as to whether they're understanding what my point, or whether they agree or disagree, or what are they, as long as I'm constantly checking in on how they're learning, it's a great experience. It's as good as if we were in the room together. And it's been, mm-hmm. and again, I'm in Los Angeles, and you can be in Idaho and have access to me now, you know, which is, you know, I've been in the number two market for years. So that's helpful for somebody in Idaho who wants to learn from somebody in a bigger market.
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit, but some people are hardwired to focus more in different environments. And some people are actually hardwired to focus at home, and they're being overlooked. Because it's always, what a problem. Actually, for them, this is a godsend.
This is a good thing. Let's move on to working from home, because that's obviously the other, you know, big elephant in the room. We already kind of touched on it. My big question is this going to change the way people work? And I think for some companies, it's definitely going to, because they need less real estate. They need less office space. It saves them money. And if certain jobs, they feel that they're getting the same work out of the people, why not let them work from home? But then there's the people like me who miss being around. The more people I'm around, the happier I am in a lot of cases. Right.
But often change isn't, well, not often. Change is almost always about money and about getting the most out of you, right?
Yeah.
I've heard from many, many friends and many people, and I see this with myself and my wife and people I know. They're working harder now than they ever worked.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
It could be because they're worried about losing their jobs. But it could also be because there's no downtime. Look, as soon as they think of something, they can walk over to the computer and do it. They could start work at 7, end at 7. There's no downtime.
I am so glad you said that, because it's also, and I've seen this with Stacy with certain things, it's also the perceived access that the company has to the employee. Like, oh, you're just at home.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
If I need you at 10 o'clock at night, I can get to you.
Doesn't matter.
Right. When did you start using video conferencing for work?
So I just did a little research. So for me, this is not new, and people are, I think, often shocked. But my first, so I've been teaching forever. So it's been over 20 years of me teaching. And my first Skype lessons, I was looking, and Skype's been around since 2003. My very first Skype lesson was 2005. It's a long time ago, right? So it's 15 years ago is my first. And I've been doing them on and off. You know, I taught people in Europe. I taught a student in Japan. I've had students across the United States. I've had students that studied with me. I live in New York and then move away, but they wanted to keep studying with me. So we utilized Skype. And then FaceTime came in 2010. We've done FaceTime and Skype before. Zoom is new, but video conferencing is not new. So the lessons I found always to be pretty amazing. So when this happened and people were worried, my gut reaction was like, well, don't worry about learning. Learning is going to change regardless of whether we want it to or not. Mm. There's financial reasons and whatever. You know, at one point, we're just going to be implanted with a computer with all of the knowledge of the world in our head, and we won't need school at all.
Oh, God.
But video conferencing is not new. So I've been doing it for a while. That part of it wasn't scary to me.
Okay. Well, I'm relatively new to it. I started really using video conferencing for work and it was mostly Skype. It wasn't even Zoom. Probably a year or two before COVID started, I was working for a PR company doing freelance work, and most of our stuff was on Skype and you know, whenever we were talking to each other, nobody saw each other in person unless there was an event. Since this, everything's been video conferencing on Zoom. And
for everybody.
As I said, I'm a podcast coach and a podcaster and producer. I've been producing podcasts online using video conferencing and other software. I have a writing team, and we do virtual writers' rooms, which are really good. I don't enjoy it as much as if we were together in the same room, but we have 2-hour meetings. We limit them to 2-hour meetings, and we get a lot of story figured out in 2 hours, or a lot of character development, or a lot of whatever it is. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have to travel to each other. You know, one guy is in Orange County, the other guy is about 15 minutes away in another part of LA County. And
I'm thinking about your story. So Humpty Dumpty went up the hill or down the hill? I think up the hill. Well,
if you don't, if you don't know,
I think a pail of water.
If you don't know, he fell off the wall, Tom. That's all you need to hear.
Oh, my God. I got Humpty Dumpty and Jack and Jill confused. Go ahead.
He's an ass. And he's dumb. He's a dumbass.
Yeah, you did. You totally screwed it up. Which is pretty amazing. You're trying to make fun of me, and yet
I made fun of myself. Beautiful. Go ahead.
Anyway, that's been my experience. I've had mostly positive experience with everything that I have to do. The only thing is, I miss the social aspect of being right in the same room.
I researched just a second of history, just to get a frame of reference for this. The very first video conferencing was 1968. It was developed 1968 to 1978. This is, I believe, AT&T developed it. In the 1990s, internet protocol video conferencing became possible in the 1990s. And then in 2000, two things happened. Free internet services, iChat and Skype started. 2003, Skype. Then 2006, high def video. And to me, COVID equals Zoom. But do you know when Zoom?
Zoom was around for a few years. Yeah, no, only for a few years. It's relatively new. And then they really stepped it up when COVID happened and took over.
But video conferencing itself is not new.
No, it's not. And which kind of surprised me. I didn't realize how long Skype's been around. I guess I knew about it, but it just didn't come into my world, so I didn't think it was an important thing. But yeah, when you look at it like that, we've really been doing this for quite a while, and now we got thrust into it.
Do you think, by the way, it's going to be the new norm?
It's going to be a business-to-business decision. For example, how much productivity, if they're learning during this process that the productivity they're getting out of their employees is the same or better or only a little worse, whatever they're deciding, that they're going to weigh that against the cost. And also, do they, if they feel like they need to be on top of their employees, which obviously...
Right, it could affect different employees differently, right? It's just like we were talking, different people are affected. Certain people that maybe didn't shine in, you know, work in a physical environment might be shining now that they're home.
Yeah.
It would behoove companies to find also the best people now, right? So if a company is in Hong Kong and the best person for whatever they want lives in Baghdad, they could find that person. Smart companies are going to take advantage of it.
Of course.
Don't you think?
To the extent that it makes sense for them to. Yeah, absolutely. My fear is that they're going to weigh the cost and the savings and the productivity over the happiness of the employee, because that's what they always do, right? So somebody like me, let's say I was working
for... It's a certainty.
Right. So yeah. I'm working for a company at, you know, I had an office job, and now I've been working from home, and they can save money by having me work from home, but I'm less happy because I obviously want to go back, my personality, I want to go back to work and be around people. They're going to make the decision to not bring me back to the office, and that's going to suck. So it's going to be a difficult transition, and it'll be interesting to watch and see.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems is if people that have technical issues... That might be good at their job, but they're technically not proficient, meaning their computer skills are not up to par. Those people are going to have issues with work now because they're going to have to become more technically savvy to work from home.
You got it?
Yeah, Mike. Still nothing.
Okay, wait a second. I sent it to you at packer@dundermifflin.com. packaging at DunderMifflin.com.
Uh-oh.
Wait. I just got it from somebody else. Wow. This is hot. Damn. How do I get you out of this picture?
It's true, because it's more than just figuring out your Zoom. You don't have an IT person that you can call and who will be at your desk in 10 minutes to take care of the problem that you're having.
You're becoming the IT person.
You're the
IT.
Yeah.
And you have no choice. The other thing that we talked about was Zoom
bombing.
Oh, this
is a really good. Yeah, this is a really good one. Go ahead.
Yeah, there was an article in NPR in April about Zoom privacy. And is your data safe with Zoom? Now, there were issues in the beginning of Zoom with this happening. I don't know anybody that it happened to. Zoom bombing? Do you know anybody that it happened to?
No, not yet.
Ah, lucky you. Well, we should explain what Zoom bombing is. Yeah, so Zoom bombing, if you're unaware, is when a meeting is hacked and somebody could, let's say, put an unpleasant image on the screen or perhaps even say something that would be inappropriate.
Is it somebody that's part of the meeting or is it somebody that's not part of the meeting?
No.
It's like a hack.
Hacks.
Oh,
hack,
wow. Okay.
They break into your meeting and do something unpleasant. And the other thing that people worry about, you're opening up a portal to your computer. Is your data safe? Can your data be stolen? And I don't know. Yeah, of course. And I don't know enough about the stuff to know if it is. I worry a little bit about that. You know?
Yeah.
But not enough, but a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's move on to our last topic, which is happening, I think, a lot during COVID now. Online dating, like dating through Zoom and getting to know
people.
That's
all you, Phil.
Well, no, I'm not. I've been in a relationship for 2 years, so I'm not doing it.
I've been in one for 20.
But and I get to see her. You know, I get to, you know, she's close to me and we spend time together. But I think it's an interesting thing, like, how do you meet during COVID? You know, and people are using the apps. They're starting with the apps, and then they say, "Let's go to a Zoom meeting and talk." And then they have their thing. Some people are engaging in the new phone sex. I think is happening over Zoom.
Is that true?
Well,
I'm in the dark
happening.
On all of this.
Me too. It's just what I'm hearing. I'm talking to people. I'm a very chatty, chatty guy.
We both are.
Yeah, there's not a lot we need to talk about when it comes to dating because neither of us are doing it. But I think it's so interesting that people are able to find each other even during this COVID. And I was talking to one girl who said, you know, she's very locked down. Like she feels comfortable being pretty locked down and wants to be safe. But she's also dating or looking to find a relationship. And so what she says is she does that. She goes in the app. Then she goes on the Zoom and she can gauge how seriously somebody is taking the COVID virus based on the conversation. Like she can kind of, and if she gets a sense that the guy is not
she
doesn't meet with him. And so
she
people
get a,
are finding
get him
their
take
way.
A COVID test.
Yeah,
that's bizarre, right?
It's
sort of like it's like taking an HIV test like 20 years ago. You got to take a COVID test.
I'll bet you know what? I wouldn't surprise me that people are doing that too. That's a great point.
That's totally bizarre. Because video conferencing has been around for so long, there are people that have utilized video conferencing to enable a long distance relationship. So this is business as usual for them, if you will.
Perfectly comfortable with it. Yeah. It's so bizarre to me, but I get it. Like, honestly, I had two long distance relationships and both of them would have been easier with video conferencing, like both with Zoom around, both of them at the time. They were in college. One was in college.
Oh, college. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. One was in college and one. Yeah.
You talked to her, you had smoke signals.
smoke signals. I wish I thought of that.
It's weird because, you know, it's a funny thing. You don't think about that's something because I'm in a relationship. I don't think about that. But God, that's changed how much technology has changed that, too. Just even the dating pool got pretty damn big if you're able to have a long distance.
Yeah.
Relationship,
well, let's say you're with somebody you really love and you want to stay together. And now they got a job where they're going to be, you know, overseas for a few years. It's more doable now. You can see it reasonably working now. Whereas 30 years ago, I don't think so.
Right. So I have a question. Have you had any social interactions outside of your apartment or house?
We did do a patio party with two things. Stacy had a wine tasting at her place, and it was 10 mm-hmm. people that socially distanced. That was a lot of fun. And then there mm-hmm. was a birthday for a buddy of mine where we did like a patio party, you know, where there was probably around 10 people for that too. And that was that was great. But everybody has been pretty good. Like all of my friends have been pretty good for the most part. Well, this has been a fun topic. I hope you had a good time. But for everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed it too. Please let us know what you think by going to thejocularpugilists.com and telling us where we're doing well and where we're not. You can also find us on Facebook, The Jocular Pugilists. You can please, if you like the show, go to iTunes if you haven't yet and subscribe and leave a rating and review. That really helps us out. Well, Tom, that's the end of the show. I hate you.
I hate you too, man.
See you next time.
See you next time.